الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكان الله على كل شيء رقيبا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on three occasions calls himself Ar-Raqib. Allah ta'ala is that being who is Ar-Raqib. And Ar-Raqib is the one who sees what is hidden inside the heart. In English language, normally we translate the word Ar-Raqib as vigilant. And the word Raqib comes from the root ra, qaf, and ba, which points to three main meanings in Arabic. The first meaning is to be vigilant, to look, watch, observe something very intently, to be intently vigilant about something. And the second meaning is to build or erect something in order to care for something. And your Raqib is the being who takes charge, protecting, maintaining, preserving. And then the third meaning of this term is to hold in consideration or respect. There is also another meaning which we see in Quran, that a person waits, intently waiting. فَرْتَكِبْ إِنَّهُمْ مُرْتَكِبُونَ. That you wait, oh my beloved Messenger, Nabi Salatu Wasalam, and the people, the unbelievers, will also wait. So waiting for something. All these meanings are contained in this one word, Ar-Raqib. Any Ar-Raqib is that being who is intently vigilant, ever watchful, all observing, knows the deepest secrets of our heart. He is actually seeing what is inside, what is hidden inside of our heart. And I'll come to the other meanings, but this is for the first meaning, which is very important for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says that Allah is a Raqib over every single thing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intently vigilant over every single thing. And to give you an idea about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vigilant, in fact, there is another verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that. And the example that he uses is that of a word which is called mirsad in Surah Fajr. Mirsad. Mirsad refers to just like when there is a hunter and he is about to pull that trigger. And you take a second and place yourself in that moment that you are hunting something, you're in the jungle, and you have the animal in front of you. And then right before you pull that trigger, your complete concentration, your focus, your attention is aimed at that animal. At that time, even if someone was to say something to you or you're unaware of everything at that moment. You're unaware of the leaves that might be touching your hair. You're unaware of other sounds. You're unaware of the wind. You're completely focused, you're intently gazing upon that animal. And that word is called mirsad, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intently gazing upon all of us. Upon all of us, just like that hunter was intently gazing upon that animal before he pulled that trigger. So that's how intently Allah is gazing, and all attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on each one of us. Just like that hunter, all attention was on that animal. That's how intently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us every single second of our day. And that's the level of closeness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. That's how intently I'm watching, vigilant. And this word raqib then there's another Arabic word which is derived from the same root letter, which is known as raqaba, muraqaba. That a person, muraqaba, anything which is on this pattern of mufa'ala, muraqaba, muqatala, it means something which is dual. And what this means is that just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raqib, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intently vigilant over a person, in the same way a person responds and reciprocates and also becomes intently vigilant about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intently vigilant, intently looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Vigilant about the fact that Allah is vigilant over him or her. And this is a very famous hadith where the Prophet explained that this is the goal of our deen. In fact, this is the goal of every act of ibadah that we do, that a person does it in such a state where they're intently aware of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intently vigilant about them. Allah is intently gazing upon them. So there's double here, there's double action. The first is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intently looking at us. That's one part of raqib. And then how do you respond to that? That you become intently aware and vigilant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intently gazing upon you. And that's the word muraqaba. It's two-way. It's a two-way action. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intently gazing upon you, and then you are responding by becoming intently vigilant and about the fact that Allah is looking at you. And then you behave in such a manner that Allah is looking at you. And you put yourself in that moment, thinking right now, in this moment, Allah is intently watching me. And I'm aware of that. And this famous hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that Angel Jibreel al-Islam, he asked three questions about what the definition of deen of Islam is. What is the religion? And the Prophet ﷺ answered that this deen of Islam has three components. One of them is called Iman, and Iman are your articles of faith, things which you're supposed to have Iman in, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and angels and the books, etc. And then the second part of our deen is Islam, which refers to our bodily surrender, the acts of submission that we do. For example, our prayer, zakah, fasting, these are all parts of actions, parts of acts of worship which a person does. That's the second part. And the third question that he asked, and third component of deen, is mal ihsan, which is, what is ihsan? That was the question, and that's the third part. Ihsan literally means to make beautiful, that you're trying to make your ibadah beautiful, that you're trying to make your deen beautiful. It's about your quality. And this is the third aspect. Sometimes you have three dimensions, right? You have the length, breadth, and the depth. So you get the length and the breadth in the first two. The depth will come from this third dimension, which is ihsan, which is also one very important aspect of our deen. And how did the Prophet ﷺ describe this? The Prophet ﷺ said that what is ihsan? Ihsan is antabudallaha ka'annaka tara, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do ibadah of Allah as if you see him, as if you're looking at Allah. وَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. And if you're not able to attain that state where you can worship as if you see him, then try to get the second level where you're aware that Allah is watching you. Allah is intently looking and gazing upon you. And that's how you worship. That's the second stage. And your aql will tell you that that's not possible. How can I see Allah? And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, worship Allah as if you see him. Means this is not going to be intellectual exercise. This is going to be in your heart. This is going to be spiritual. You have in your heart, a person develops that kaifiyah. they develop that state, that feeling, whereby they feel the experience as if they're standing before Allah, as if they're looking at Allah. The Sahaba Ikram Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say that if the Jannat and Jahannam were to come before my eyes, then it would not increase my Iman one iota. And either where Sahaba were at that level of Ihsan, where everything was, they would worship Allah as if they would see Him. And then if a person, obviously this would require something beyond, some learning, some mehnat, some effort which is beyond the books, which is beyond your intellect, because your intellect will not be able to worship Allah in that way. This has to do with developing a person's spirituality, their heart, because then through their heart they can perceive Allah. Eyes cannot see Allah. In this world, our eyes don't have the ability that they can perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the heart has been given that ability where it can know Allah, it can perceive the presence of Allah. And through the heart, a person can then act on this and attain the state of Ihsan, whereby a person develops that kayfiyat of mushahida, that as if they're worshipping Allah, as if they see Him. And then the second level, that if that's not possible, then the second level, no, it's not about possibility if a person works it up. And the second level is if that, if the first level a person doesn't have, then the second would be that a person worships Allah, being aware that Allah is watching them. And that is the second kayfiyat, which is known as muraqabah. First is known as mushahada, that you shuhud, that you see something, you're seeing Allah. And the second is you're seeing Allah with your heart, with the eye of your heart. And the second is muraqabah, that you are aware that Allah is intently looking at you, your raqib. It's a two-way vigilance. This word mufa'ala, anything on this pattern, it's a two-way vigilance. Allah is vigilant, intently looking at us, and we are vigilant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking upon us. And that's the target that the Prophet has given us in our deen, because ihsan is one part of our deen. It's one third of our deen. And literally, if you look at the word then that the Prophet has used, and the muhaddithin, they've commented, they've done a lot of commentary about this word. It's not that you pray your salah only. It's anta'budallah, that you do ibadah. Ibadah. And yes, one aspect of ibadah is our formal worship. Formal worship means that a person prays their salah and tries to pray their salah with that kayfiyah, being aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at them. And we can then broaden the definition of ibadah. Yani, a person does istighfar with that kayfiyah that Allah is looking at them and they're being watched by Allah. They're vigilant about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. They do send durood and salawat on the Prophet sallallahu with that same kayfiyah. Yani, every ibadah, every act of worship that they do, they spend the day in that state where they're aware that Allah is watching them. They're looking at Allah and Allah is looking at them. That's the state of their heart. And in technically, in one sense, you know, any good act that a person does, if they have and apply a proper niyat or intention, the whole life can, you know, the whole day can actually become a means of drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this hadith means that a person should spend the entire day in that state, in that, you know, in that state, in that kayfiyah, with that feeling that Allah is with me, Allah is looking at me, Allah is vigilant over me, Allah is intently gazing at me, and I'm aware of this presence of Allah. And this is the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used for Himself in the Quran, that Allah is Ar-Raqib. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us that we should worship Him with that same intensity, that same quality, and not just worship in our salah, but this should be 24/7, that a person is aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at me. And this is known in there's an Arabic word Allah used in the Quran, which is known as ma'iyah, that Allah is my companion. Allah says in Quran, huwa ma'ak, that He is with you wherever you are. This is an ayat of the Quran, that Allah And this is an ayah, and most of us, we have the knowledge that Allah is with us. Everyone has that knowledge. But it's not simply about knowledge. Allah wants us to worship Him, to live our life, to every single moment of our life, to be aware, to feel, to experience this kaifiyah that Allah is my companion, Allah is my sati. And then, how raqib is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I gave you one example that Allah, that predator, right? That's how intently Allah is zooming, Allah is attentive towards us. And then elsewhere, Allah says that Allah is qareeb to you. Allah is close to you. That's an additional relationship of closeness. You can have someone watching over you, and you can have someone your companion, right? But you can have a distant companion. He's my sati, but he's not with me. He's maybe far away. But Allah says, no, fa'inni qareeb. And again, you can look at the relationship raqib and qareeb. Both of them, they share the same root letters, ra, qaf, and ba. And this is a principle of Arabic language that those words which come from the same triliteral roots, even if you replace the letters, there is some kind of munasabah, some kind of relationship. And that's then another shade of meaning that we get. Raqib and qareeb. Qareeb means near, close. And Allah says in Quran, fa'inni qareeb. I am always close to you. And then lest a person thinks that what is that level of closeness? What is the level of intimacy and proximity? So Allah takes it to a one step, to another level altogether, a higher level. And Allah says in Quran, Nahnu aqrabu ilayhi min hablil warid, that I'm closer to you, so close to you, that I'm closer to you than your own jugular vein. And I'm closer to you than your own self. That's how close Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to each one of us. Every single moment, every single second. And that's something that we should pause and reflect. Take a second and place ourselves in that moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that close to me, because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That we become servants and slaves who know that Allah is so close to us. And we respond then. We respond to that closeness of Allah, that intimacy and proximity. So subhanAllah, this in Quran we see how in different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us how this relationship of closeness using the several ayats. But when we read these, ayats, we have knowledge. But there's another thing which is called istizhar. Istizhar means that you experience it. Knowledge is that you have ilm of it. It's intellectual. Istizhar is that you feel it in your heart. Your heart, and this is really what all these ayat about closeness of Allah, they're meant to be experienced with the heart. Our akal cannot do so. Allah has given us this heart, this qalb, and this heart is the focus of knowing Allah. This heart, which is the qalb, which is the heart of our ruh. Just like we have a physical heart, the pumping blood, that's not what I'm speaking about. Allah uses the word qalb, which is part of our ruh. Our ruh is there inside of our body. Every part of our body, there is a ruh. When a person passes away, this ruh is taken out. And just like our jism, our body has different parts, in the same way, our ruh also has different parts. And the heart of the ruh is known as qalb in the Quran. And that qalb is the place, the locus of knowing Allah, of attaining the muhabba of Allah, loving Allah, knowing Allah, the ma'rifah of Allah, of experiencing the closeness of Allah, the proximity of Allah, the intimacy of Allah. It's the qalb, it's that organ. That organ, Allah has given us several organs. Every organ has its own function. We use the eyes to see, we use the ears to listen, the tongue to speak. The organ that Allah has given us, which is the qalb, and we spoke about this last time, yesterday also, that if this organ is sound, then that person is sound. That's not referring to the physical pumping blood. Although you can open up and the doctors can see. It's not about that physical heart. It's referring to this heart of the ruh. And if this heart is sound, then that person becomes sound. And it's this heart which is the organ through which a person can love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by developing this heart, filling this heart with the muhabba. And that's this word istizar, that a person tastes that presence of Allah. They're intimately aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have ilm in our mind, but we don't have this kafiyat, this feeling in our heart. We know, but we don't feel. And this is that branch. The ihsan is that branch of our deen, which enables a person to get the feelings. Your iman is things that you know intellectually. And Islam is the practical submission, which are your actions, the things that you do. And ihsan is that third dimension about you feel. So for example, you pray and you know the thing that you're supposed to say, and you have the, you know, the wordings and the meanings, and you have the proper actions. But then to get the feeling of salah, that's ihsan. To get the feelings in our deen, that's also part of our deen. That's this dimension of ihsan. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this word ma'iyat, that a person should make themselves feel this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their heart. Elsewhere in Quran, Allah says that wherever there are three people, Allah is the fourth one. That's not to do with the knowledge. That concept is just that we feel it. That if there are three people, Allah is the fourth. If there are four, then Allah is the fifth. Very beautiful story when the Prophet ﷺ was with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu in that Ghar-e Thawr. And the kuffar were searching and they were outside the cave, and then there came a point that they reached the mouth of the cave, and inside Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was very scared because he realized that if they can only just bend down, they can see us. And at that time, looking at the sensing the fear of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said to him, La tahzan, that don't fear, inna Allah ma'ana, that with us is Allah. Allah is with us. Ma'ana, it's the same thing. That Allah is our companion. If there are two of us, but the third one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by bringing these feelings back into our heart. And this requires some mehnat. Just like learning the wordings of that salah, you recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It requires some mehnat, some effort. And we did that effort, and now we know that Surah Fatiha. Similarly, bodily postures and the method to pray required some mehnat, some effort. We did that and we got the actions right. In the same way, getting the feelings of ibadah, of salah, this feelings of awareness of Allah, ma'iyat of Allah, the closeness, this requires effort. And this requires the effort of the heart to develop our heart, to bring Allah back into our heart, to make our heart remembering Allah, to pump our heart, remove the laziness, remove the rust and crust, the heedlessness from our heart. Make this heart a dhakir heart, a heart that is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. This was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and she says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be remembering Allah all the time. All the time. Yani, there was no ghafla. Now, obviously, you're eating and you're drinking. So it's not about your food. It's not about your hands or about your tongue. It's about your heart. The heart is remembering all the time. Because the remembrance, the place of remembrance is the heart. That's why when a mother, she says that I was remembering my child. It's not that she was saying, my beta, my son, repeating that person's name over and over again. No. The heart, that's the place for remembrance. Her heart was remembering her son. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this, that a person can use their actions, they can use their, their limbs, their mind for the dunya. But the heart is reserved for Allah and for the muhabbat of Allah and for the remembrance of Allah. And this requires mehnat, this requires effort. The person has to strive to improve the quality of their salah to be able to achieve this state of ma'iyya, that Allah is with me, Allah is my companion. And yes, one mehnat is that a person should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah bless me with this maqam, with this rank of ma'iyya, that I don't simply know this in words, that you're with me all the time. I can experience your proximity and intimacy every single moment that Allah, you're with me. You are my companion. So definitely we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, practically, we also have to make some effort. Yani, this is so, once there's a hadith, a sahabi came in and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, Ya Rasulullah, ma tazakiya? That when does a person achieve the purity of their heart? Yesterday we spoke about the soundness of the heart, right? Qalbi Salim, how to polish and make our heart pure and sound. So this is that whole process of purifying the heart is known as tazkiyah, purification of the heart and the soul. And so the Sahabi asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, when does a person achieve his tazkiyah? When is the soul purified? And he was asking, what's the limit? What's the nishani? What's the alamat that now I have a sound nafs, I have a sound heart? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied that when you know that Anna Allah ma'ahu haythu kana, when you have this kaifiyat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you wherever you are. When you can begin to feel this kaifiyat in your heart, know that this is a dalil, a sign that you have attained tazkiyah, you have purified your soul, you have purified your heart, you have a qalbi salim. Which means that a person cannot get their purification, their tazkiyah done until they get this ma'iyah, until they get this closeness of Allah. They experience this, they live this they live in such a state that they're aware of Allah watching over them. Allah is with them. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said that the sign of the best type of iman, afzalul iman, inna afzalul imani an ta'lama anna Allaha ma'aka haythu ma kunta. That the sign of the best type of iman is that a person knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them wherever they are. And again, it's not simply knowing at an intellectual level. Person experiences that it has istizar. They're intimately, profoundly aware that Allah is with me wherever I am. Huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum. Allah, He's with me wherever I am. So, with this companionship, when a person, until a person gets this ma'iyah, we cannot get the soundness of our heart, a tazkiyah. And until we get this ma'iyah of Allah, we can not get this highest level of iman, the afzalul iman. If you look at our iman is very weak, right? We are people with weak iman. Our surroundings, they impact our iman. They impact and what we think impacts our iman. You put ourselves in some environment, that environment affects our iman. Whichever environment a person is in, that person, they're the thoughts that, those thoughts that dominate that person's mind. And because we live in this dunya, which is a worldly alimul asbab, these are worldly causes, and that's why living and continually interacting here in this world with these causes and effect, sometimes these asbab, they become dominant over us. And this is very important for us that a person takes some time out to disconnect. We disconnect ourselves from these asbab, and we remember the musabbibul asbab. We remember the being who's behind these worldly causes. And that is what this remembrance is. That is what this main of this effort is. That a person disconnects from the dunya and tries to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person doesn't do that, then we'll be trapped always in the world of causes. Our gaze will never be able to rise high and look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the being controlling everything, who's the faile hakiki. And that's why, if you look, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a way also. Allah has told us the effort that needs to be done in order to acquire this ma'iyat with Allah, this proximity and closeness to Allah. Allah has in the Quran told us that way, and that way is the zikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. The more and more a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more and more they'll be able to connect to Allah, they'll be able to disconnect with makhluk and creation. And the more and more they'll be able to feel that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. And this is like we mentioned before also, this is that one command where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants kasrat. Because little zikr is not going to help us. If you remember Allah once a day or five times a day, that's not going to give you ma'iyah. That's not going to give you this proximity and intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, even those who are hypocrites, munafiqeen, Allah says in Quran, they also remember Allah, but only a little. So that's their sign. But with the sign of a believer, Allah says in Quran, is al-dhakirin Allah kathira wa dhakirat, that those who remember me abundantly, because abundant remembrance will lead to closeness to Allah, qurb of Allah, with to ma'iyat of Allah. That's the effort. The effort to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, excessively, extensively, intensively. And that's why over and over again in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats this, that Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udhkurullaha dhikran kathira, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. Some places Allah says, wa dhakirin Allah kathiran wa dhakirat, that the male believers who remember Allah abundantly and the female believers who remember Allah abundantly. Sometimes Allah mentions that this itminan will come through remembrance of Allah. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That no and no, only in the remembrance of Allah will your hearts find that itminan and contentment. And someplace Allah says the opposite, wala takum min al ghafilin. That do not, if you colloquially, it means that do not ever, don't dare be ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't become heedless of Allah, even for a moment, even for the blink of an eye. And subhanAllah, the zikr and remembrance of Allah is so essential to our deen that every single ibadah that your person does, you will see that Allah has linked zikr and his remembrance with it. That Allah wants this remembrance so that even when a person is doing that ibadah, inside their heart, they're thinking of Allah. They're remembering Allah. So in salah, we pray our salah. Why? Wa aqimus salata li dhikri. Pray my salah, establish salah for my remembrance. That's the goal, that a person can get to that state in their salah where their heart is remembering Allah, where they can get this kaifiyah of ihsan, that Allah is watching them or they're watching Allah. They're aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence inside their salah. Same thing, then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, two ulul azam anbiya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent both of them to Fir'aun and told them to give dawah to Fir'aun. Fir'aun, izhab ila Fir'aun, innahu tagha, he has become a rebellious traitor, call him. And at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave two nasihat, that when you speak to Fir'aun, number one, speak to him softly, faqula lahu qawlan layyina. And then secondly, wala tanaya fi dhikri, that do not be forgetful of our dhikr, of our remembrance. Yani even when a person is inviting someone towards Islam, even when you're doing deen, work of deen, during that act, you're still supposed to have remembrance, still supposed to remember Allah inside your heart. And even in another place, Allah mentions that the war, when a person is fighting a just war, and they're fighting a war in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kasrat, abundantly, so that you might be victorious, you might be dominant over your enemy. And subhanAllah, there's another ayah which I always mention, which is very important for any person who's doing any khidmat of the deen, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran not to listen to that person whose hearts have been empty of our remembrance, of our dhikr. Allah says, "Wala tute man aghfalna qalbahu an dhikrina." That do not obey, do not listen that person whose hearts have been made empty, devoid of our remembrance, of our dhikr. Any listening is crucial for any work of deen. And Allah is giving the fatwa, they don't even listen to that person whose heart is empty of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over again, Allah wants us to remember Him. And Allah wants us to remember Him every single moment of our life, that we keep our heart attached to him all the time. Now, people like us, when we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we perhaps remember him 5 times every day in our salah, maybe a little more or maybe a little less. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is in the Quran that we have to remember him every single moment of our life. That's the first kind of dhikr that Allah speaks about in the Quran. Because Allah says in Quran that there are people who are standing and lying on their sides and they're sitting. And in all three postures, they're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. That there are people who are remembering Allah, whether they're standing or sitting or lying, remembering Allah at all times. And that's the first type of dhikr, which is simply that a person is connected to Allah. If we want to get this ma'iyat of Allah, we have to increase this remembrance, this first type of remembrance, which is there's no specific way or specific formula. It seems that you're simply thinking about Allah constantly. In the back of your heart, background of your heart, you have some remembrance of Allah. It's like a computer. The Windows operating system is running in the background. And then on top of that, you can have different programs. You can be eating and you can be drinking and talking. But in the heart, you're running the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the first time that a person remains connected to Allah at all times. And Allah speaks about such people, that they are people, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That there are people that nothing in the world, no amount of tijarat and trade and commerce can distract these people from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means that there are people who are engaged in their work. They don't drop out of university or their job or their office. They're engaged in the work in kasb-e halal, but at the same time, their work cannot distract them, which means that they're remembering Allah through their heart, right? It's not with their tongue, because they're using their tongue to buy and sell. They're in the marketplace. They're remembering Allah inside. Their trade, their business, whatever activity they're doing, none of that can distract them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even things which are purely dunya, purely halal, they're still thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. And which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us that ability that we can multitask. We can do something in the outward, but we can also use that heart at the same time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us have that ability. That if we can keep something in our heart at all times, we can keep that thought running in our background at all times. If someone's, and let's say someone is married and their wife tells them to go to get some vegetables or fruits from the market, and he goes to the market, but on the way he finds a friend and he stops on the way and starts talking to his friend, but all the time he remembers that my original purpose to get out of the house was to get the vegetables. He won't forget that he has to get the vegetables. When he leaves his friend, he will go get the vegetables, right? It shows that Allah has given us the ability that on one hand, he was talking to his friend. Inside his heart, he was thinking what he has to do, get the vegetable. Or for a student, when they have their exams coming up in college exam, you have exam 1 week away and the student's kind of in examination mode, right? Every second of the day, he knows that this exam is coming up. Examination is looming on top of him. He might be stopping to eat or something or drink something. He might be driving on the way to the library, going to the library, walking there. But every second he knows that I have this exam coming up. You ask him, have you forgotten about the exam? He says, no way. Means Allah has given us this ability to process something in the background. And that's why the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this is precisely that we keep our heart attached to Allah ta'ala at all times. Be in the world, but your heart be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. So practically, how can a person then focus on Allah and remember Allah throughout the day? It means that you focus your attention on your heart. And then you focus your heart on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing, in fact, is that we have to be aware that you have this heart inside of you. And until you know the importance of this heart, right? Sometimes people forget that we have this heart inside of us. I'm not speaking about the physical heart. We have the ruh, the heart of the ruh. And that is why so many ayahs and so many hadiths, they instill the importance of this heart. That you have this valuable, precious thing, this gold inside of you. And then you should focus your attention on this heart throughout the day. And then focus your heart on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to do that is, there are several ways, in fact, right? And I'm going to mention a few ways that a person can use their heart to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And again, like I said, this is how it begins, right? The person uses their heart to think about Allah. And perhaps the first thing that a person can think about is just the wujud of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. Think about the existence of Allah. Allah is there. Let me backtrack, right? When we use our heart, and we use this heart, the heart of a mu'min, to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fill our heart with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first step, we are watching our heart every single moment. And then once we become aware of this heart, then we need to focus this heart towards Allah. And for that, we can remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And it's something that is important to kickstart the zikr, right? That I'm not simply thinking about some concept in my mind. Allah has wujud. Allah has existence. And that can kickstart that zikr. And next, then a person can think of the different attributes and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we are doing in this. Every single name, the sifati name, these are all sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're all attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are 99 of them in which the Prophet will mention is one hadith, but that's not the limit. There are many others which we don't know, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And perhaps a person can pick up any one attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they can start thinking about that attribute, the Asma'ul Husna, that Allah is Ar-Rahman, that Allah is all merciful, is Ar-Rahim, is all mercy giving. Another day you can think about Allah is that being who is As-Sattar, he wails our sins, or he is Al-Halim, he is forbearing. Next day you can think that Allah is Al-Afu, Allah is most forgiving. You can have 99 options, right? If I'm much more than that. So that can help to kickstart that zikr. And then there's also something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah mentions in the Quran, that in addition to Allah's being, his existence, and in addition to attributes and qualities, his names, there's one more thing, the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shan is an Arabic word which means the charms of Allah, the demeanor of Allah. And in Surah Rahman, Allah ta'ala says, Kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'an. That every single day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in a new shan, new nature, new beauty, new charm. A way you can understand this word shan is that when there is a woman who gets married, and when she gets dressed up, in the initial stage of her marriage, she gets dressed up. Every day she gets dressed up in a new way. There is a new way she dresses up. Right? There is a new shan to her every single day, a new demeanor, a new charm to her, a new dress. Right? In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a new shan every single day. He sends his own mercy in distinct ways. And we can ponder on this. We can reflect and make that effort of also coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. Reciprocating and responding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. That Allah, Ya Allah, just like you have a new shan every single day, new charm and beauty and demeanor, Allah, I'm going to respond to you and I'm going to remember you now today in a different way. Every day I'm going to remember you with a new shan, right? So my muhabba for you is going to change every single day. My andaz of that muhabba, right? The style of my muhabba is going to change every single day. we try to, try to experience the reality of this ayah. Experience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different new charm and beauty. His love has a new charm every day. And we try to respond to that in new ways, in different ways every single day. Just like two lovers, they keep making effort to beautify the relationship in different ways. So the same way we should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think of different ways of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think we can think of new ways, do new things to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is also a third way, which is that we ponder and reflect on the different relationships we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we often forget this, right? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us. And again, you can go right back at the start. I mentioned a few ayat. Those are ayat about relationships. Allah, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. That Allah, He is my companion wherever I am. Reflect on the fact that Allah is my companion. Feel Allah's companionship. What incredible mercy is this? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this gift of companionship in this life, in this world. What incredible mercy. And it's there all the time, not just when we are praying. Huwa ma'akum, wherever you are. Huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum. You're in your office, Allah is with you. You're inside your home, Allah is with you. In the grocery store, Allah is with you. Wherever you are, Allah is with you. So we should think more and more about this ayah. Just saying this with your tongue, that Allah is with me, Allah is watching me, Allah is gazing upon me. You know, that right now, right here, while listening and while speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at me. That is what this ayah means. And it's not like how we are distracted and thinking of other things. Allah is intently gazing upon us, right? Just like that example, right? That person, that hunter's attention is on that animal. Allah is intently gazing upon, watching us every single second. And then Allah says that I'm not simply your companion. There's additional relationship of closeness, that I'm your intimate companion. فَإِنِّي قَرِيب. Not a distant, not an abstract Lord. Allah, if you want, Allah is not an abstract entity, some concept that we have studied, or some distant, abstract, theoretical, intellectual concept. No. Allah is my sati, He's my companion, He's a close, intimately near to me. He is even intimate and close to me when we are committing a sin, waiting for us to repent back to Him. And how intimately near He is to me? He is nahnu akrabu ilayhi min hablil warid. He is closer to me than my own jugular vein, than my own very self. He is closer to me, is the closest. Even my own self, that's far away. Allah is closest. Akrabu ilayhi, qurb, raqib. It's the same root. We just have to respond now. Allah is raqib. This is the process that we have to respond to that being, worship Allah, be with Allah, like the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. That's what love is. Yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. That Allah is not simply intensely close and near to me. Yuhibbuhum, Allah, He loves them and they love Him. So we become the true lovers of Allah. Allah is a loving, intimate friend and a companion who's with us all the time, wherever we are. That's what we have to experience. This is a hakikat, a reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran in all these verses. We have to feel this reality. We have to make this nearness a two-way relationship. We have to make this companionship a two-way path, two-way. That's muraqabah, two-way, two-way vigilance. Two-way nearness, two-way companionship. That Allah, just like you are my companion, I'm going to make you my companion. Allah, you will be my companion. Wherever I am, Allah, you are my companion. Allah, wherever I am, you are near to me. You are more near to me, nearer to me than anything else, than my own self. You love me, Allah, I love you. love is two-way, making this one-way reality into a two-way experience. This is called attaining the Ma'iyah. This is the effort that we have to make. This is the name Ar-Raqib. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as that being was Ar-Raqib. And another level of closeness Allah mentions is that when you begin to remember me in these ways, you remember me, fadhkuruni, adhkurkum, then I will remember you. So when you are remembering Allah, and this is immediate, you remember Allah for 1 minute, Allah will remember you there and then instantly for that 1 minute. And we should feel happy. Again, it's not simply ilm that I know that I'm, you should feel it. You should be aware of this, intimately conscious that Allah is remembering me. Have yakin about this. That when I'm remembering Allah, Allah, you, my companion, my friend, so close and near to me, Allah, you are remembering me. At this moment, I am the object of your remembrance. Like people get happy in the dunya when you tell them that someone was thinking about you. And we see this often in worldly love. You have two lovers, you tell one of them that the person was thinking about you. They say, oh, really? And they feel happy. And they ask you that, what was that person saying? And they enjoy, right? That they derive pleasure from the fact that they were being remembered by their lover, by their beloved. Imagine then how much enjoyment we should feel, how much pleasure and lazat we should get, knowing the fact that we are being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is remembering us. And when Allah remembers me, Allah is shavring His mercy, His graces, His rahmah, His anwarat, tajalliyat, waridat, fuzat onto my heart. All words mentioned in the Quran. And you will feel happy at being the mazkur of Allah. And then you will get that itminan. You will get itminan in your heart. You will get satisfaction, excitement. We should, you know, this is, you know, you should think about dhikr and you should feel excited. When I say the word biryani, you get excited. When I say the word ice cream, you become excited. That's how we should think. We hear the word zikr, we should get excited. That when I zikr of Allah, Allah will do zikr of me. Think of the excitement you get when you know your loved one is thinking and remembering you. Now imagine Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most exalted, is thinking about you, is remembering you. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So these are different ways when you make the zikr of Allah, Allah promises to make zikr of you. Right? When we, me and you, we find out, right, that someone is remembering, we feel content. And that's how we should feel. So the zikr is the interface through which a person can attain the ma'iyah, the proximity, the intimacy with Allah. They can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that person who can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that a person becomes remembered by Allah every single day. And that's why we should try to soak our heart in the 24/7 remembrance of Allah. You can think simply at the, even another way, that at the heart background level, that your heart is simply saying the word Allah. The Isme Azam, Isme Jalala, Tabara Kasmu Rabbik, right? That Allah, Allah, that's what my heart is making dhikr of. As if my heart is saying the name of Allah at a background level. And this zikr is not a difficult thing. We should first, you know, practically speaking, we should first try to be a people of intention. Become people of intention, niyat, and make this a habit. And what we can do is that try that before starting any activity, any worldly activity, think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for just a few seconds in any ways that we have mentioned above. Before reading a book, right? Make the intention for doing, for thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, I'm reading this book, but I want my heart to remember you in the background all the time. And you connect the wire of your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then continue to begin that activity. And then continue, right? And then after 15, 20 minutes, monitor your heart and address your heart and say that, oh heart, you've become so involved in your work that you've forgotten about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Refresh, reestablish that connection, and then keep repeating this process, right? Keep repeating. Take out a few minutes and then remember Allah, and then make dua to Allah. Allah, give me a heart that does zikr and remembers you, even if it's in the background of my heart all the time. So that's one thing, that any activity that we do, start of that activity, we pause for a few seconds and connect the wire of our heart to Allah. And then next is that whenever you have free time, when you're shifting from one activity to another, you have 2 minutes, 3 minutes less free time, two, three or less, right? Give that free time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it to Allah. If you have more than that, then you can give it to the dunya. But make that commitment that I will give 3 minutes or less of free time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can't do anything substantial in those moments. Why not use it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says in Quran also, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Then when you become farigh and free, then turn to me in earnest. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. Turn to your Lord with raghba, with passion. We can make the intention of doing amal on that ayah, that I'm going to turn to Allah in my free time in earnest. So you can make dua that, Ya Allah, this is my free time. I want to give this back to you. But the trick or the condition is that whenever you find yourself to have those time, those 3 minutes or less, you should turn to Allah, do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, this could be when you're waiting in the line at a grocery store, or you're waiting for your friend who's coming to hang out with you. And then, you know, when you think about these opportunities, you will realize, you will start to see that you have so many pockets throughout the day. And then your whole day, if you can fill those pockets with the remembrance of Allah, it's like you're filling the whole day with the remembrance of Allah. It's just like if you have many tiny dots on a page, soon there'll be dots all over the page. Same way you will sprinkle the day with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very simple and very easy to do. We're not asking you for your free time, for your busy time, right? We're not asking you for the time when you're studying and working and other chores that you have to do. This is your free time. But the barakah from this is phenomenal, right? And other additional, you know, helps and aids is that you can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before and after eating, right? Before, after eating, waking up and going to sleep with the sunnah du'as. So use the sunnah du'as. They're also very powerful, because sunnah du'as are also another very powerful way of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day, getting this mayyat of Allah, right? This was actually, the du'as were not because the Prophet ﷺ, there was sunnah for the Prophet ﷺ. These du'as, again, are a proof that the Prophet ﷺ's heart was remembering and thinking Allah all the time, right? That's why every moment, every activity, before sleeping, after sleeping, eating, after eating, entering the house, leaving the house, using the washroom, leaving the washroom, looking at the mirror, the Prophet ﷺ's heart was always in continual zikr. Always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes that zikr will be manifested in the form of that dua that he used to use, that he used to make with his tongue, which me and you, we now know as the sunnah dua, or the masnoon duas of eating and sleeping, etc. But the real sunnah was the heart, the zakir, the remembering heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This kamil ruju ilallah, connected to Allah, the heart connected to Allah, inabat ilallah, yearning for Allah, desiring Allah, thinking about Allah all the time, 24/7. So we can use this process backwards. We can put those words of the masnoon dua on our tongue and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua that Allah somehow give us that heart which remembers you all the time. Pray for hidayah. And we can also make a niyat for doing amal on the sunnah. And that itself is rewarding, because that will bring us further close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get more tawfiq from Allah. And another thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, right, is that a person can be in a state of wudu all the time. And again, wudu is an ibadah which we have for every major act of worship. You pray salah, wudu is a condition. You recite Quran, open Quran, do tilawat, wudu is a condition. tawaf around Baitullah Sharif wudu is a condition. Means there's something special about wudu. So we can use that special power of wudu and try to be in a state of wudu all the time. This will also help us remember Allah throughout the day. And when a person gets this consistency in their zikr, everything about their life changes. The way they walk, the way they go about their affairs, everything changes because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. Right? One who gets this feeling of the mayyat of Allah, that person does not dare to commit any sin. Imam Rabbani has a Mujaddid al-Fisani rahmatullah alayh, Sheikh Ahmed Sirindi rahmatullah alayh, he has written that you give such a person 1,000 years to forget Allah, he won't be able to forget Allah. Because his remembrance has become an inseparable part of his heart. That heart cannot forget. He has trained his heart. And the heart has reached that level of remembrance of Allah where the attribute of that heart is now remembrance of Allah. It's an inseparable attribute. That's the goal. That's the target. That's called fana. That a person becomes completely connected to Allah in their heart. That no matter what they're, that's the Sahaba Ikram, engaged in the heat of the dunya, trade, commerce, business, buying, selling. Heart was remembering Allah. So a person can get this, right? When a person does this practice, and these are the simple steps, right? Their kefia becomes that they can stay away from sin. And they begin to feel lazzat in their salah, in their ibadah. They finish one salah, they're waiting for the next one. They do their ibadah even when they're tired in it. When they're tired, they go back and do ibadah. So in order to start this, we have to be watchful of our heart all the time. Dhikr is something we need to practice all the time, even if it's for a few minutes. And also if a person, right, can then at the same time try to stay away from sin. You're making effort and trying to, you know, on your zikr, and then at the same time trying to stay away from sin. These are the two things, right? That's it. Through which a person can attain the ma'iyyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the benefits of focusing your heart on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that a person not only purifies their heart, but their thinking also starts to become purified. Most of us are always thinking about our difficulties and problems, right? And these difficulties, problems, and worries have made us old now. Some of us are in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Bude ho gaye. We are old now. These thoughts of the dunya, always these worries of the dunya and the difficulties and problems of this life, it has made us old. Some of us are getting now white beard, white hair. So we have to, the one benefit of this is that once you fill your heart with Allah and the remembrance of Allah, then Allah takes care of their hearts. Allah takes care of their thoughts. Allah puts tranquility in their hearts. Allah is always with me. Allah is close to me, right? There should be some time that we can go and we can develop this relationship that Allah is close to me. I have Allah. I can talk to Allah. Allah is my companion. I can speak with Allah. I can talk to Him if I have any problems. And sometimes you don't even need to complain because you realize that Allah is with you. And you realize that Allah, you were with me. Allah, I'm with you. Allah, you're looking at me. And Allah, I'm looking at you. Allah, we are together. Allah, you are my companion. You are my sati. You know what's happening. Allah, you are my wakil. You are my wali. You are my nasir. Allah, you are protecting me. Allah, you are my guardian. You are my custodian. You are my caretaker. Allah knows my affairs. They're not in someone else's hands. Allah, you know them. Everything is in your hand. Everything is safe, secure. And that person who goes high, and that person who develops this taluk and connection with Allah, this ma'iyya with Allah, then that person will look at the dunya from a totally different glance. He will see that everything in the dunya is under the control of my Allah, and Allah is with me. I have Allah, and he won't get depressed about the dunya. I have Allah, and Allah has the dunya. Everything in the dunya is with Allah. It's under the wish of Allah. Then they don't have any worry. The only worry, the only objective is just to remain connected to Allah. I just want to enjoy the companionship of Allah. Allah, that's just my life. I want to enjoy the companionship of Allah. In this dunya, and then in akhirah, I want to enjoy the lazzat of looking at your blessed and noble face. That's life for me in this dunya and the next. That's it. And this is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Actually, the other thing that is related to this, which is mentioned in the Quran, is that sometimes a person also needs to disconnect themselves from routine. Try to disconnect yourself from the normal daily routine and try to go one-on-one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second type of remembrance. And this is what you find in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would retreat to a secluded area. He would go, he could have gone anywhere, but he went in khalwa. And there he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we have the story of Ashab al-Kahf, that they also secluded themselves and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. And this notion of khalwa or disconnecting something, that's there even when we cannot maybe go and live in a cave, but this notion of khalwa still needs to be there in our life. And that actually is supposed to be the purpose of salah. Complete disconnect at least 5 times every day. That was the purpose of itikaf. The purpose sometimes when people go for hajj and umrah, that some part during the year a person disconnects. And then not just during the year, but some part during every single day, we disconnect ourselves from the society, from the mundane. And then we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And this is the second type of zikr mentioned in the Quran, which is an exclusive time with Allah. This cannot be done 24 hours a day. This cannot be done while you're engaged in business and commerce. This cannot be done while you're engaged in studying class. It's a special time that we have to take out some time to go one-on-one with Him, to go one-on-one with Allah with the exclusion of everything else, to lose yourself in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that you forget everything else. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. That wadhkur isma rabbik watabattal ilayhi tabatila. In order to understand this verse, first we know there is gold, so there is something called gold in your heart, a gold called iman in your heart. There is a gold called the love for Allah in your heart. There is a gold called yakin in your heart. There is a gold called the zikr in your heart. If you keep digging, you will find that gold. And the golden zikr means fana, that you forget all dunya and you're able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively to the exclusion of everything else. And that is this ayah. Wadhkur isma rabbik watabattal ilayhi tabatila. That remember the name of your Lord so much. Isma rabbik. Remember the name of your Lord, of your Rabb so much that everything else goes out of focus. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. So much so that you forget everything else. This is what we are chasing. You want to chase this ayat of the Quran. This is called muraqabah, right? That you are vigilant, that Allah is vigilant over you. It means that you make this intention that, Ya Allah, now I'm free. Now I have 15 minutes or 20 minutes. And in these 15, 20 minutes, I just want to remember only you. Only you. This is zikr. This is not meditation. This ayat is not meditation. It's not that you close your eyes and connect to yourself. That's meditation. This zikr is that you disconnect from the world, disconnect from even yourself. All your, you know, empty yourself of all the thoughts and then connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has nothing to do with your pulse or your heartbeat or your breathing. All of that is ghairullah. Ghair means it's everything, it's other than Allah. And you want to only and only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, you will need something to focus on. Okay, I put myself in, I have 20 minutes now, I can sit and remember Allah. How do I remember? What do I focus on? Allah gave us His name. واذكر اسم ربك, the name of your Rabb. Why the name? Because tabarak asmu rabbik, full of barakah is the name of your Rabb. The ultimate blessing and barakah is in this name of Allah, the first name that we did. And we have to unlock the barakat. And the way to unlock the barakat of this name is to keep repeating this name in our heart. Keep repeating it over and over. Thousands of times, tens of thousands of times, throughout our life, in our heart, in the heart of our ruh, in the heart of our ruh known as our qalb. And then we can begin to experience the barakah. This is a promise that Allah has made in the Quran. Tabarak asmu rabbik, full of barakah. We haven't experienced the barakah in this name. We just have to slice through. And for that, we 20 minutes every day. Just try to remember this name of Allah in our heart, in the heart of our ruh. Just that heart, our heart, the ruh, the heart of our ruh is saying Allah, Allah. I'm just listening to it, right? That your heart is making dhikr of Him. And when you remember the name, you're ultimately remembering the named one. And this is the beautiful secret, that the name will take you to the being who's named Allah. One way to understand that who is Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who's named by the name Allah. You don't need to conceptualize anything. Sometimes university students ask, what does Allah look like? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's not about imagining things in the dunya. You just make dhikr of Him by making dhikr of His name Allah. Wadhkur isma rabbik. Remember the name of Allah. You will not say this. You will not say this with your tongue. You will just simply make the niyat, intention, that the heart of your ruh is making dhikr of Allah's name. Just sit with that intention and then just focus more on this zikr. Because, you know, all of us know this tongue. The problem is not with the tongue. The problem is that our hearts have become ghafil, negligent. The hearts are not into it. The heart is thinking about the dunya. Therefore, the zikr of the tongue does not have its maximum effect on us. We don't even feel the feelings during the salah. We recite, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. It doesn't affect our heart. Our heart was absent in the salah. So the cure for that ghafla and the negligence of the heart is this remembrance of the heart, zikr of the heart. So you can sit for about 15, 20 minutes whenever we have time to go deep into the zikr. And then you will feel some connection to Allah. All you have to do is just connect to His name and you will become connected to Him. And again, like this is something which a person cannot do all the time, but some part of the time that we want to develop this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This fana, this is an Arabic word that a person tries to erase their own awareness because they're so aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the Quran and the sunnah, right? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went in cave Hira, that was what he was doing. That he was wanted more and more disconnect. And he found there a cave and went inside that cave and then remembered Allah exclusively to the exclusion of everything else. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story of Ashabi Kahf. That's Hidayah. What did they do? Young men living in a society that was corrupt and distant. They tried to get connected to Allah while being in that society. And then they wanted that 100% connection with Allah. They left. They left their place, climbed up the mountain, went inside a cave. That's Hidayah, that need to disconnect with the intention of a temporary time will stay there. And that's a separate story that Allah put them to sleep and all of that, right? You go back to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that after the manifestation of Nabuwa, the Prophet ﷺ, he had this 100% connection with Allah during the tahajjud salah. That was fana. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says it was such a long sajda that sometimes we wouldn't know that the Prophet is with us or not. The azan, salah used to be a disconnect from the Prophet. I was just mentioning this a few hours ago, that when the azan, Allahu Akbar, the Prophet used to completely become as if he doesn't know us. Am Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that I asked that, Ya Rasulullah, you know who I am? And he said, Mananti, who are you? And I said, Ana Aisha. He said, who's Aisha? Man Aisha, who's Aisha? Ana Aisha, Aisha binti Abu Bakr, Aisha the daughter of Abu Bakr. Man Abu Bakr, who's Abu Bakr? And she said that at that time I realized that the Prophet will not recognize anyone. That was fana. A special time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he would forget everything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a process, right? It's a wonderful chance for us to begin that process in this month of Ramadan while making this niyat of fasting and making this remembrance of Allah. And so we should sit and ask Allah ta'ala to take us to that level where we can remember Him all the time, such that even if we want to forget Him, we cannot forget. Try to drown ourselves in the name of Allah. And what happens when a person gets to that stage? You will never want to remember the world again once you forget it. But what happens is the sunnah will take you out. Because the sunnah of the Prophet is that he had the hajjat, but then after that he had baqa, which means that you re-engage the world. Watch this carefully. That you once again become aware of the world, but now in a very different way. You are connected to that same old world, but with a completely new heart. That heart which is fully connected to Allah. And now your engagement with the world will always be according to the Sharia and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? And that's what this ayat is. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيُّنْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That you went deep into the exclusive remembrance of Allah, then you came back and you re-entered the world, but you will do it now for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. You are doing tijarat and trade and commerce, but all the time your heart is totally connected. The problem, we have these verses, but we haven't really understood these verses in hadith. We're happy to explain it. Right? This is the practice that a person does this remembrance. And these are the two ways. Indeed, Allah is saying, Allah is raqib over you. Allah is raqib over us. It means Allah is very closely looking at you. And the zikr, this exercise of muraqabah, it's a two-way vigilance. I simultaneously want to be intensely aware of Him. I want to make my heart completely aware of Allah. Allah says, Udu Rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Allah makes dhikr of your Rabb. Call upon your Rabb in yourself. Secretly and silently, with yearning, with longing, without any sound or utterance, straight from Quran. So for those who are starters, first timers, Bismillah, right? You can start this. Remember Allah in these two ways. Nothing will happen in the first second, no problem. But there's nothing that you would get in this world in 1 second, right? You have about 12, 13, 14 days now. 14 days and 14 nights. And by every moment of Ramadan, if we can get the barakah to one moment of Ramadan, that is enough. Let alone having 14 days and 14 nights of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to start this process of remembering Him, of trying to attain this closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to work on this in this month of Ramadan. We waste our time in Ramadan and warming up. Right? We need to remember that everything is on clearance sale. In Ramadan, it's easy to get all the blessings in this month. Allah will just have to ask and make effort. Allah will give you a lot. You come to walk, Allah, when you come walking to Allah, Allah will come running. Take one step towards Allah, Allah will come many steps towards you. Just have to present ourselves to Him. We have to shed our laziness, remove the laziness of our nafs, train ourselves for this year. Zikr is not something you have to do just on the prayer rug, right? It's just a condition, the state of the heart. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to become perfect in our zikr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who can feel Him, who can attain this ma'iyat. who can attain this istizar of his mayyat all the time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his qurb. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.